our pets. They're our babies, our comforters, our cuddlers. They play with us, amuse us, and keep us company.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
But when they're sick or injured, we hurt too. And now there's a silent crisis of care for those pets. An overwhelmed veterinary system can't seem to keep up with the number of sick and injured animals.
I've been practicing more than 25 years. I've never seen a time like this.
As a result, many are suffering, some are dying. And the short supply of veterinary care is driving up prices. People have surrendered their beloved companions because they can't afford the care. Those broken hearts can't be healed. But can the broken system be fixed? We talk about that here on Fox 11 News In Depth, which starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Many people aren't even aware of it, but a veterinary emergency is dawning in America. More pets, fewer vets, and it's leading to a lot of heartache. For example, what happened to our next guest who lost a beloved pet? Tammy Bourne is with us right now. Tammy lost her dog, Jax. It happened just last week. And Tammy, take a second and tell us what happened to you, your family, your dog, and the experience you went through.
Well, it was a Sunday night, and he wouldn't eat his dinner, which is very unusual for a Labrador. He's never done that before. And we noticed that he was a little more tired that day. And after he wouldn't eat, we're like, well, he looked like his stomach was a little bloated. So we thought maybe it might even be where their stomach was twisted or something was wrong. So we rushed him over to our emergency vet, Conejo Valley Vet. They said it'd be about a 4 to 6 hour wait, but we had no choice. We got there around 8 o'clock, and they took his vitals and then took him in the back. After they took him in the back, we waited for another hour, and then they came out around 9:15 or so and said that their x-ray machine was down and that we were going to have to find another vet to take him to. So they handed us a paper with other emergency vet names on it, and we were starting to call, and then someone had microphoned, the x-ray machine is back. We can go ahead and do it now. So that was at 9:15, 10:15, still nothing. We were asking, you know, we just wanted to be in a room with our dog. They kept him in the back. It was about 3.5 hours, 11:30, that we saw the vet. The vet came in without our dog, asked us some questions, and then told us that he had a tumor on his spleen that had burst. And his belly was filling with blood. So he was dying in front of us. There wasn't anything that we could do. They didn't have a surgeon on duty. They had a surgeon on call at a vet's office in Ventura, Horizon Vet. But by that time, it was too late. Now, maybe if he was seen a little bit earlier instead of the 3.5 hours, maybe that would have saved him. But at that point, we had to put him to sleep.
I'm so sorry. And to your family, our condolences. Obviously, this is a tragic story. And this is not the first story we've heard like this. In fact, here is what the chief veterinarian for the VCA Animal Hospitals nationally told us.
There's just simply not enough veterinarians and trained veterinary technicians to do the work. You know, we have more people that want to have appointments, and we have a personnel crisis, a staffing crisis.
And while it's not just an LA city or an LA county or even a Ventura County issue, it is causing problems here. Veterinarian Fumi Yamamoto is with the LA County Animal Care and Control. And from the LA City Department of Animal Care and Control, Chief Veterinarian Dr. Jeremy Prupas joins us as well. Thanks for being with us. Let's start with Dr. Yamamoto. You and I talked just last week, and we acknowledge the fact there is something going on here. Tell everybody what is going on here.
Well, you know, the pandemic really did cause a lot of problems with how we normally operate our veterinary hospitals. So curbside had to happen. A lot of people are out sick. A lot of veterinary clinics were already short-staffed, and the shortage of veterinary staff in general was a pre-existing issue. And then when the pandemic hit, it became an even larger issue because we had to create more restrictions so that we can keep everybody safe. And that in itself created longer wait times. People continued to adopt animals as they should. We love all these animals. We want to do as much as we possibly can to take care of your pets. However, you know, the wait times do get long. And in emergency hospitals, we're not excluded in the short staffing and the effects of the pandemic. And therefore, you know, we all felt the wait times grow larger and larger for the entire veterinary community.
Dr. Purvis, it sounds almost like a domino effect. One domino knocks over the next domino. What's happened in your department?
Well, I mean, I think it's, as Dr. Yamamoto said, it's a staffing issue. It's a capacity for care issue where we just are finding that we don't have enough veterinarians, we don't have enough support staff to handle the numbers of animals that are coming in. And as we're seeing with human hospitals with COVID, you get to a point where you just can't handle the influx of all these patients. And so I think, unfortunately, that's what we're seeing. Emergency hospitals just historically have always been difficult to fill positions just because of the work and because of the hours that you have to work overnight. It's a really, really difficult job in the best of circumstances. And now we're having veterinary hospitals that emergency hospitals that are closing their doors at night because they're too full.
But we still have pets, though, Doctor. We still have pets that need care. They need help. We love those pets, right? And so do we find then in some situations where people who might just have an infection or a smaller thing that could be dealt with, they're going to the emergency rooms trying to get whatever help they can for their loved ones. And that also is causing a problem. Dr. Purvis.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I think it's, again, just like it's very similar to the human medicine problem right now. In the human hospitals, the ERs are having the same problem. The people are showing up. People that don't truly need emergency care are showing up and it's overwhelming everybody. And I think at the veterinary emergency hospitals, the same thing's happening.
You know, I have to wonder, Dr. Yamamoto, have you guys, in both of your agencies, and Dr. Yamamoto, why don't you start this first? I mean, the point being that have you talked about this amongst yourselves? Have you said, gosh, is there some kind of a way we can fix this issue before it gets even worse?
Well, I don't think there's an easy solution to this because we just need, you know, more staffing. And also, if everybody could do their part in cooperating and trying to work towards getting the pandemic restrictions to be lifted so that life can return back to sort of our new normal, that would be wonderful as well, because curbside and all these other new guidance that we have to follow do take more time in between each patient. But I do think, you know, we do have, as a community, have discussions on, you know, creating different categories of paraprofessionals that can take some of the burden off of RVTs and veterinarians and address certain other more minor issues. But I do think this is a more difficult problem and also an access to care problem as well.
I want to thank both of you because we have to move on, but we're going to spend the whole half hour talking about this. And thank you so much for being here. I know this is something you're going to continue to shine a spotlight on. Thank you so much. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth. The veterinarian shortage has been brewing for a long time. We look at some of the reasons the system has gotten so out of whack right after the break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and our next guest is an animal advocate. Mark Cushing recently published this book about the domestic animal culture, Pet Nation, the inside story of how companion animals are transforming our homes, our culture, and the economy. He's also the founder and CEO of the Animal Policy Group. Cushing represents a wide range of pet health, animal welfare, and veterinary educational interests. Thanks for joining us, Mark. You're very well aware of what we're talking about here. And, you know, one of the things I think contributes to all of that is we have more first-time pet owners because of the pandemic, right? And so more people took in pets because they were working remotely, and now all of a sudden people are starting to go back to work, but they're also finding that if their pets or dogs or cats, whatever, have problems, they've got to find care.
Now, that's a good way to put it. You had two things happen with the pandemic, Hal. One was existing pet owners, mainly millennials and Gen Zs, who own 60% of the pets in this country, by the way. Many of them got a second dog or a second cat, and they were home with them when they hadn't been otherwise working, you know, outside the home. Then you had a new wave, anywhere between 11 to 20% additional households got a pet. And they notice things. If you're home all day and your pet's at your feet, or, you know, you're spending time with him, you see things, and they got curious about that. And really what's at the core of this is millennials have made it clear across this country, LA, California, you know, across to the east, they want healthcare for their pet at the same level, same quality as for themselves, and they'll pay for it. And frankly, the veterinary system that we've built in this country was not prepared. It's a great problem to have. You have a new group that demand and want to pay for healthcare, but they weren't prepared for it. And it's a complex issue, but there are solutions, four or five actually I'm involved in, but that's where we've arrived. And I was, you know, sorry to hear the story shared by your prior guest, but that's happening all over the place. In many urban centers like LA, it's a 48-hour wait right now for an emergency room. And if you wait 48 hours, Hal, it's not an emergency clinic anymore, right?
Now, I want to tell you, but I want to tell you another story here. I want to tell you a story about a woman. She owns a rescue. She was given a dog by somebody who couldn't handle the care, but her dog was hit by a car. The rescue woman went to five hospitals and was turned away from every one of them, and the dog died in her car.
Yeah, that's tragic, and it doesn't have to happen, and it's increasingly a story. And people go to vet school. You can make more money usually as a dentist or a doctor. You have the same undergraduate training, but they choose veterinary school because of a love of animals. There's no question that's the case. And you can imagine how veterinarians and their staffs are handling this. To hear that story, to have to tell people, we can't see you to the end of October. Internal medicine now in most specialties across the country, it's a 6-week wait to get an appointment, but the emergency examples are even worse. So it is a crisis. I appreciate your show actually paying attention to it. I'm at the Western Veterinary Conference right now in Las Vegas. It is the topic on the floor. If you ask any veterinarian in this country, I can't find a veterinarian. I can't hire one. My staff aren't going to work under these conditions, and it is a crisis. So, but there are solutions we can talk about.
All right, but let's do that. I mean, there are people watching right now, pet owners and others who may be saying, right. Okay, so what do you do about it?
Well, okay, obviously, as one of the Dr. Yamamoto said, you need more veterinarians, and you'll hear this figure and you'll shake your head. From 1978 until 2014, so you're talking about 36 years, America opened one new veterinary college in Pomona, Western University. There's basically 6 medical schools for every veterinary school in this country. So it was kind of a sleepy profession to the side of life. And this book I wrote, Pet Nation, is about the surge in 20 years of pets into the middle of American homes and American neighborhoods and stores and any place you go. And the veterinary community wasn't prepared. So you need more vet schools. I've started 2. I'm involved in more, number one. The second problem you have, but there's a solution there, is you've got to increase the size of our veterinary schools. Florida is a great example. When they opened the University of Florida Vet School in Gainesville, Florida had a population of 8 million people, and there were 90 or 85 students in the class. Flash forward 40 years, still one vet school in Florida, 23 million people, a class size of 120, not remotely meeting the needs of the Florida population. California, with nearly 40 million people, has 2 vet schools. And so you need to increase sizes of classes, and you can do that.
But the point being, you need to do that, but will they do that? And there's philosophy, and then there's action.
Okay, that is changing, and I spend part of every day doing that, and I've had success. So we've opened new schools. We're expanding class sizes of schools. So that's good. That takes some time. You don't produce a veterinarian overnight. The second issue is veterinary medicine calls veterinary nurses technicians, vet techs, and they are on average given the chance to utilize only 50% of their skills that they're board certified to use. Now, why does that matter? That means veterinarians are doing things with pets that they should be done by their staff who are trained to do that, and they can spend more time with dogs that have more, or cats with critical needs. And that's a mindset change. And frankly, as baby boomers retire, you're seeing veterinarians begin to understand that. That's been an issue, but here's a bigger problem.
Well, wait a minute, hold on to that thought, because we have to take a break. But let me just say this as we go to the break. VCA Animal Hospitals hired 5,400 people this past year, and they say that's not even enough. Stay with
They're
us, Mark.
Client.
He's going to stay with us for the next segment. And another will be joining us, a rescue operator. That's coming up on Fox 11 News in Depth. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Mark Cushing, the founder and CEO of the Animal Policy Group, is back with us. And now joining him is the founder of Camp Cocker Rescue, Kathy Stanley. And Kathy, I want to start with you and your rescue group, because you must really hear a lot of these stories that we're talking about this half hour. Just give us a short sort of synopsis of what you're hearing.
Absolutely. That story about Jax broke my heart. Camp Cocker Rescue focuses on rescuing major medical dogs from shelters in Southern California. So we get a lot of hit by car dogs that are in shelters, dogs that need urgent surgeries. And we are running into the same problem. Oh, there's one of our dogs now that's Turtle. We're running into the same problem. Luckily, and this advice might help pet owners, luckily we have relationships with a few emergency hospitals. So if one is full up, we'll contact the other one. If their phone lines aren't being answered, which is also a common problem because so many people are calling the emergency rooms, we have email access to some of the vets. So the best advice I have for pet owners or other rescuers is to establish some good relationships and plan out where are you going to go when you have a pet emergency.
Now let me stop you there for a second, because I've heard this before. Plan on where you're going to go if you have an emergency, right? However, you plan on where you're going to go. Mark, I want you to pick up on this. You plan on where you want to go, and then when you have the emergency and you go there, they tell you, I'm sorry, I can't handle it. You got to go somewhere else. So having a plan isn't necessarily the best plan, right, Mark?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what the issue is, and California is ground zero for this. Human medicine has used telemedicine for 35 years. Veterinary medicine still struggles, and California's Veterinary Medical Board, with whom I work and have good relations, and California Veterinary Medical Association have resisted allowing Californians to take advantage of video and telemedicine. In many cases, you can call a veterinarian or get a vet tech on the phone with the Zoom, show them the pet, and they can help you out, and you don't have to go to an emergency clinic. You don't have to crowd the system, because it could have been answered by phone. And if a veterinarian's working from home, it's a great way to add opportunity for her or a vet tech.
All right, so let me ask Kathy. I mean, would that work, Kathy? Is that idea a good idea?
Yes. See, here's the problem I'm observing is the general practitioners can't see 12 clients a day, like, or 12 clients every 4 hours like they used to. So those people that are trying to get in for, I don't know, a bladder infection are being told, well, we can't fit you in for 2 weeks. So those people are going to the emergency rooms, and they're lining up when there's other dogs dying of bloat or a spleen or hit by car. So the problem begins with the general practitioners. I believe that they really need to start, like what Mr. Cushing was just saying, start doing some more televisits, have more of the vet techs help out with things that the vets don't absolutely have to handle, and streamline their process. Vet parking lots shouldn't be full of cars with people waiting to be seen. There should be a process that begins with an online, I don't know, a 15-minute pre-exam consult with the vet. Then you discuss the plan. Then you approve the charges. Then you drop off your pet and leave your pet there for 4 hours so that there's a process. But right now it seems that there's all these people are flooding the emergency rooms, and half of them should have already been seen by their general vets, who need to pivot and update and modernize their processes.
So we have just a couple of minutes left. And Mark, I want to start with you here. Let's just give people at home a couple of tips. They have a dog. Their dog was hit by a car. We've heard that they can go to hospitals and be told go somewhere else. So what are people to do? Mark, give them a tip, and then Kathy, give us a wrap up.
Okay, the first thing you want to do is have ready to go, and you can easily find it on the web, a telemedicine service, many of which are based in California, and make a phone call. Less than 20% of a 90,000 case example in the U.S. of one company were dogs that needed to go in to see somebody. So think about that. 70-plus thousand calls came in, and the problem can be solved without driving, waiting in line, or burdening an emergency clinic. So have a telemedicine solution available, and hopefully see if California can ease up their opposition to the use of telemedicine and join the rest of the country, which is clearly trending in that direction.
And I'm guessing that's a conversation with your vet. Can we do telemedicine? And then, Kathy, give us what your thought is on what people can do based on the experience you've had.
I think for the average pet owner who has an emergency that isn't aware of the situation, the best advice to them is before they have an emergency, have a good relationship with your general vet and see even if you can reach your general vet on off hours with via email. Can they help get you into an emergency room? Or if there's several emergency rooms that you want to choose from, find out ahead of time, if I have an emergency, what's the best way to get in? Is there a way to email your staff if the phone isn't getting answered? And also, a lot of pet owners should really have a financial plan prepared for these emergencies. We get a lot of owner relinquished dogs because pet owners haven't thought ahead and planned for a $10,000 emergency. That's how we end up with a lot of our medical dogs.
And that happens a lot, and that's why a lot of dogs have been surrendered and cats have been surrendered, because pet owners can't afford it. Kathy Stanley, thanks so much for being with us. Mark Cushing, we're not going to stop talking about this. We're going to keep a spotlight shining on it. I appreciate both of you for being with us. Fox 11 News in Depth will continue right after this. Don't go away. And finally, if you haven't already, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal. It's wherever you subscribe to your podcast, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us to talk about our pets and all the reasons we love them. For example, using them to do silly tests on TikTok, like this cat intelligence test. If the cat puts his paws on the wall, then it's smart. But if not, well, just take a look. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a good week. We'll see you next time.